the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Very busy hour on tap as we're live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino in 15 minutes. Scott Agnes, who has been on this show several times, will join the program. He covers the Pacers. In 30 minutes, some NFL with Paul Charchi, and he's going to be in studio. Here, we head out to the Progressive Guest Line to talk NBA as the great Henry Abbott joins the program now, the True Hoop Podcast and TrueHoop.com. Henry, it's a pleasure. Big fans of your work. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
So what are we supposed to make of Oklahoma City, right? You look at their regular season numbers, and they're some of the best of all time. The margin of victory, defensive stuff, they're right there, all the wins. What do we make of this team now, and especially if they don't win the championship on Sunday night?
They're the best put-together team in the NBA. They have this crazy low budget and all these young players and infinite picks, so they're fantastic, and they're going to win a million championships. I don't know if they'll win this year's or not, right? It might be that the Pacers, who have this unusual style where they just use a ton of athletes. Their bench isn't even that good, but they play the players long minutes, as my colleague David Thorpe's been writing about a lot on True Hoop, and just they call it blur ball. And you can see Donovan Mitchell and then Jalen Brunson, different stars just get completely worn down. They got Shea super tired in this series, and so it might work with some Tyrese Halliburton magic to win a championship this year. But I think the Thunder are the best run team, and it's not even that close. So they'll win plenty of championships. They're so young.
If the Pacers do this, will this, or even if they don't have to win just by getting here, will this change the NBA and how they play? And if you can expand on what they do to tire you out, pace, and wear you down in depth?
Yeah, I honestly, you know, we've talked a lot in the NBA about, you know, the small market teams have a chance and can you spend less and win more? And this is the answer, right? This is sort of like when the Warriors first won with, we call it the Cuisinart at True Hoop, but this crazy offense that featured Steph Curry. Other teams got to sort of try to copy that. It's hard without Steph Curry, but threes went way up. This is a new thing, right? You can take a player like Obi Toppin, who was essentially cut by the Knicks. He just wasn't good enough, and they play him a bunch. And he's valuable because when he's the Occam can be resting, but B, when he's in, he's flying around, he's jumping, hit a big three, and he's just making the other team's starters who play longer minutes guard him. And it just, it seems like, I know that already there are rumbles like the Raptors and the Blazers, other teams are moving in this way. When the Cavs got eliminated, their coach Kenny Atkinson talked about their team has this load. They measure the like energy level that a team plays with, and like the Pacers are up here and all the rest of the league is down here. So I think, you know, if you're playing against, think about the Lakers, if you're playing against LeBron and you have all these athletes who just fly at a million miles an hour and he's 40 years old, like that's going to be a problem for LeBron.
Yeah. It looked to me, by the way, last night that, you know, all the talk going into the game that Tyrese Halliburton was going to be impacted because of the injury, all those reports that came out and said if this was a regular season, he missed probably a couple of weeks. I don't know. To me, Henry, I'll see if you agree with this, he looked totally fine. Like, there's no reason to believe that he's not going to be close to 100%, I guess, probably on Sunday night.
Yeah, I think both things are true. I think he only played, 23 minutes, and they sat him. Did you notice the Pacers went on a run in the second quarter, and in the middle of the run, Tyrese had came in, and then he went out again. Then he came back again. So I think they're definitely really nursing this injury. But whatever they did with drying, needling, and I saw the whole list of things they did to him. Good job, guys. So, but he really did. He played D. He got those steals. He, you know, was shot in traffic. He did all the things that you don't do when you're in tons of pain. So now they have 2 days off. So it does seem like pretty good odds he'll be playing well.
The most improbable title winners of our lifetime, or you go back the last 50 years, if they get this done, they were 125-1, Henry, in January.
So they have these underrated players. I think in the first chunk of the season, they were missing Aaron Nesmith and Andrew Nembhard, who I think to most NBA fans are like, who cares? But they're fantastic defenders. I think Nembhard's actually really special, and he's gonna maybe be an all-star and that kind of thing. But yeah, they didn't have him, and they had a terrible record, so that's how they get to that 125-1. But since then, I think they're a top four NBA team.
Yep. No, you're spot on, especially since January 1st. If you're Oklahoma City, win or lose, how do you tinker with the roster in the offseason? All these picks, all these young players, what would you do?
I mean, I'm probably the wrong guy to ask. I wrote an article last summer saying that they were crazy not to get, you know, Giannis or some big star last summer. But look at them. Here they are in the finals with all of the young players and other picks intact. So maybe I was a little antsy. But I do think they have – well, they definitely have to get rid of 15 players over the next 3 years because of how many picks they have.
Right, right.
So we know stuff's happening, right? They have to trade, like, I don't know. What can you get for, like, Cason Wallace and two picks, right? It just seems like for sure they're going to do these kinds of deals, and they can – they have the assets to get essentially anyone they want. I could see an argument for just throwing everything at Cooper Flag, right? They could just give a stupid number of picks for Cooper Flag, right?
Yeah.
Wow. I love that idea. Have you heard anything
Who's
like
better?
That, or is that just your idea?
It's my idea, but I think it makes a ton of sense. What if you give – so what if you give 10 picks, right? Like, they're going to win titles forever.
I don't hate that.
Oh, that's great.
I would do that if I'm Dallas as well. The great Henry Abbott, our guest. Subscribe to True Hoop. You should too. Get the podcast. You know Coach Thorpe's on the show all the time as well. He's on the Progressive guest line. What are you hearing on Durant? I wouldn't give up a lot. 37 years old.
Yeah. There's almost nobody who's on a Supermax deal who's been traded in a way where they landed and helped the team, right? Because there's this oddity of you get the Supermax deal when you're old, but you don't help teams unless you're young, right? So 37, man, I honestly, like, if I ran a team, I would rather not have him than trade anything for him, right? Because he's going to eat 50 plus mil of your cap space, and he just can't be, not no fault of his, but he just can't reliably be there every day at that age, right? It's almost never happened. I think I did some research a few years ago, some tiny percentage. I think like 1.6% of the NBA is over the age of 31 and good, like helps you in basketball. So he's fighting the odds so hard here. It just seems like, you know, that we're watching right now the finals where we're learning that his generation of players, like, I don't think any of them are going to lead a team to a title again.
Oh, okay. Well, who along with KD then, and maybe they might not help the next team win a championship, but what's the biggest name or a couple of names out there you think will be on the move in the offseason?
I mean, it seems like there's some kind of Giannis might stay noise, but like, why would he stay? There's no chance he's winning championship in Milwaukee, right? Damian Lillard's out injured all year, and the roster's not that good. They don't have a lot of picks. It just seems crazy to me if he really wants to win a championship. And he's always shown that he's like super ferocious about that, right? He's had so many signals of that way. So I can't believe he's going to just settle into more Milwaukee for the long haul. So that'd be the big one to me. That's honestly like Thorpe's big thing is that the Thunder should get Giannis.
Yeah, I think win or lose. I think that would be smart to pick up the phone and have that conversation. You can put together a great package there, and the Bucks would be fine, I think, moving forward. Maybe not championship worthy, but they could put a nice little core together. How different do you think the Celtics are going to look starting next year?
Yeah, big time different, I would guess. I mean, you know, Jrue Holiday to me is one of these like super underrated players. We just don't value defense appropriately in how we talk about sports, and he's one of the best, and he keeps going places, and then they win there. And he's getting a little older. He's not quite what he was, but still the idea that he's kind of being shopped as a salary dump is a big change, right? And Jason Tatum recovering, it just seems, I mean, they're very, very well run. And I'm positive that a year from now, they'll be, you know, much better. But it seems like for right now, we're going to have a little bit of a retool.
You were listening before you came on. Your reaction to the sale of the Lakers and that what the future of the Lakers will be like if you think they'll run it like the Dodgers and if the rest of the league should be afraid.
Yeah, so, you know, the Ohtani, what did he make, $700 million? The Dodgers seems like a really good model, and I guess that's mostly what will happen. But there are two weird things to me about it. One is, Jeannie Buss still is governor? Like, all that stuff you guys were just saying about the team, like, was not well-run, and, like, well, she ran it. You know what I mean? That seems kind of weird to me. The other one is, think about how Luka got to the Lakers, right? There's a casino magnate who doesn't seem to know that much about basketball, who maybe called the shot and things happened and no one believed it was quite for the reasons given. So it just seems like the Mavericks were kind of a small part of the portfolio and something happened that was kind of kooky to basketball fans and they got rid of Luka by mistake. This Mark Walter is from, you know, Guggenheim is a giant, like I think they have about $400 billion under management and it has roots back with Michael Milken and Drexel and all, you know, a lot of crazy business stuff where like the Lakers are now like a small part rather than being the Buss family's whole portfolio. They're a tiny part of a huge portfolio where as a sports fan, it gets me a little nervous that you might be just like things might happen in mysterious ways for reasons that we'll never really understand. And, you know, it's great to have the Ohtani money, but it's also a little bit welcome to weird deep pocketed global finance where we fans are just kind of bit players.
Are they going to care about the aprons and the taxes and all that stuff?
I mean, they should, only because once you get into the second apron, you can't trade anybody, right? It's almost impossible to make a trade. And, you know, if you look at the Lakers roster, they only have first round picks. They have as few picks as you can have, basically, right? And they're a pretty old team. So they need Luka, who's 26, and then like almost everyone else on the roster, I would expect not to improve in time. So I, you know, there's only so much, so many avenues for money to fix that. So I don't know how they're going to get better. I think they're going to be a little behind. I think, you know, they won 50 games. They're a good team. They can continue to be a good team, but to be great, to beat these Thunder, it's going to take a kind of overhaul that I don't think they have the tools for anytime soon.
Yeah, that we're talking years, plural, with that. That's not going to happen overnight.
For sure. Yeah. I think the roster has been underrated, but I was just looking at it now. Like LeBron's 40, Maxi Kleber's 33, Alex Len 32, Finney Smith 32, Austin Reeves is 27. It's rare to improve after the age of 27, right? So, unless Bronny's really good, man, I don't know how they're going to get better.
Well, Henry, that was a great conversation. Big fans of your work. Keep it up. Obviously, you can follow him on X. He's at True Hoop. The website, truehoop.com. The podcast is also called True Hoop. And like Paulie was saying, David Thor's been on this show many, many times with us. So you guys are great. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, he said a lot of things there that I really, really like, including OKC should absolutely go after Cooper Flagg.
That's awesome. Man. How do you say no to that if you're Dallas?
I know. I'm right there with you. We'll get more of a finals perspective from Indiana. Scott Agnes on the program coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
While we are efforting, Scott Agnes, who does a great job covering the Pacers in Indiana and the Fever, by the way, losers last night, that was something else. 11-point favorites, they lost by 11. We'll kick around what Henry Abbott just told us from True Hoop. Great conversation. They do great work over there. And if you missed any of it, as always, you can go back a little bit later on and check it out on the Follow the Money podcast, wherever you get your podcast. But he said that if you're Oklahoma City, like, and he's spot on. This is why they have to be active like this year or in the next, you know, handful of years. They have so many picks. You can't have that many guys on your roster. So they have to do something. They got to get, you know, have to be creative, send three guys over here for one player in return, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, just go out and offer whatever it takes to get Cooper Flagg. So I want to flip it for one second here. What would you need if you're the Dallas Mavericks? Insert joke about Nico Harrison here, but like, where does that start? Is it Chet? I think what we're watching right now with Chet.
You don't have to do that.
And I was going
to
say, but it hasn't been pretty, but I do think that teams would be pushing each other out of the way for Chet's Holmgren services in the league.
Why would they care about picks? OKC, right?
They shouldn't.
You just saw what Orlando did. I like what Orlando did. You think you're going to be good? Who cares about those picks anyways? You haven't made a move since like early 2000s to get a good player. And this guy fits what you need, 41% from three. Okay, let's get him. So if it's Wallace, four number ones and another player, I mean, how a good player, then I say, yeah. The comeback is, what if he's a Hall of Fame? You don't know. He's probably going to be good, but you don't know.
Of course.
But no, I think if you're there are several people suggesting, myself included, that they should have traded him. Try to get free. You have to win now because of Anthony Davis, too.
Yeah, right.
Kyrie's hurt, and Anthony Davis is up there in age. So just go through it. They have their first in 2027, a top five protected from Denver, a first-round pick swap with the Clippers. They have their number one in 2028, a first-round swap with Dallas. All this stuff that they still have from the Clippers, and 7 picks in 2029, 6 picks in 2030, 5 picks in 2028. It's ridiculous. These guys aren't going to play, and you can't sign them all either.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I don't think Dallas agrees to a deal that would be Cason Wallace and 4 number one picks. And I like Cason Wallace a lot. I think this guy can be really, really good for a good decade in the NBA.
Well, okay, but you're also... you're also talking about a guy who just made the worst trade in history.
No, I know.
So if
right.
you want to, and I'll give him another player then.
To your point, by the way, I mean, Flagg probably is going to be like outstanding, but there is a non-zero chance that he's not. And there's only one player like in the last 10 years. Hell, if you want to go back to LeBron, I'd say that. So that's now we're talking 2+ decades. Only two players, I think, right, that entire time where you'd say, I don't care what the trade is. I'm not going to say yes. It would be LeBron. No matter what people were going to offer Cleveland, they had to turn it down for LeBron. And it doesn't matter what teams would have offered the Spurs for Wembanyama. They had to turn everything down. Flagg is not in that same category. He's not LeBron, and he's not Wembanyama. So you have to be open to a conversation. I don't know if it would be, like, who's the other guy then? But if you're Oklahoma City, I think he's spot on. They should go get Giannis. And this speaks to how likable Giannis is. He wants to stay in Milwaukee. And don't forget this, by the way.
It'd be great for Milwaukee to do that.
To get him out of there?
Help him out. You're not going to win. Lillard's out for the year.
You're not going
to
win.
He doesn't have any help. Right. Try to get all these young assets and a star player.
And it's been proven here that their front office, who they just, again, somehow extended the GM, they've botched this now since they won a title. They have no idea. Like, they're so old as well. But Giannis will never forget what Milwaukee did for him and his family. To bring over the brother, he's on the roster. Like, that's huge to him.
Mm-hmm.
That said, it's got to be presented in a way like, if you want to win more, buddy, you probably need to go somewhere else. And for him...
Well, come on now. I know. You knocked out of the first round 3 years in a row. It's not happening. Yep, it's run its course.
See,
you won the championship, it's great.
Yep. And if I'm Milwaukee, then you go, okay, now we're talking about, I get it, he's 10 years older than Flagg, whatever that number might be, but he's also one of the best players of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, Jalen Williams. You know, you got to bring up all these guys, Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren.
We might disagree on this. Is there more there with Chet? Is Chet going to take this leap?
Well,
how much is he going to improve? People disagree on this, but that's...
Well, I think you have to forget that he lost his entire rookie season because of injury.
Well, if I'm Dallas, I try to get Freak, and the OKC discussion with Abbott, I think, is awesome. And yeah. I would do the same thing as well. Now, the other one you have is KD, which apparently San Antonio is saying, we're not even going to give you the second overall pick for the guy. Are you nuts? He's 37 years old. Apparently the offers stink. There was a report out there that the Suns asked for Castle and the number 2 pick. Are you crazy?
Well, yeah, they are.
Number one, his list. But then that goes back to Henry's point about you got to be careful, too, here. But if you make a bad move, you're screwed like the Suns and stuck with Beal. But this is, I like what Mad Dog said, our buddy, the best to ever do it. Why am I doing this guy a favor? He was only here for a cup of coffee. I'm training you to Minnesota. I'm getting Gobert and DiVincenzo. That's what I'm doing.
Sure.
I'm not going to do you a favor with your Houston, San Antonio, Miami list.
Your wish list, yeah.
Your no state income tax list. So you can make as much as possible because you're only going to play another 3 years.
By the way, what's Miami going to look like? Why would he want to go there?
That's a bad fit, too.
That's probably evidence that he doesn't really care about winning because you're going to have to give up something in return.
Right.
But so what does Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, and Kevin Durant, if that's going to be the core, what does that do for you? That's good.
Yeah, I think the Godfather's making a mistake.
Yeah, I don't think that's not even close to a championship caliber team.
I would trade Spoelstra to the Knicks, and I would move Bam and those other guys and start over. We can give Hero $40 million? Come on.
Oh, he'll get $40 million.
Oh,
there's no question.
I just think that's crazy, though. He got run out by the Cavs. It was embarrassing.
I will say that of all the guys who have signed for $40-plus million, Hero's better than a lot of them. I mean, look at the contract Ben Simmons got.
Okay, so you saw what happened. Well, yeah, you saw what happened in the first round. Durant could be a good fit on the Rockets, but how much do you give up for him? That's the thing.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
And maybe they just run this back and say, sorry, Kevin, we couldn't get any offers. You got to come back.
Well, okay.
I don't know. But you got to help us out. You didn't help. We tried to trade you to Golden State. It was done. Well, you didn't want to go back.
Sure.
And now you give me this small wish list. I have to run a business, too, and a team. I think it's best for us. You're going to have to bear the cold. You're going to Minnesota. Go enjoy Perkins and Culver's, and we're going to get DiVincenzo and Gobert.
I would say from a – Portillo's back there, too. I would say from a betting standpoint, I completely agree with what Henry Abbott said 15 minutes ago. Barring, like, a miraculous trade for a team, I can't think of a single scenario where if I happen to be on my phone or on Twitter when that news breaks, Kevin Durant has been traded, I can't imagine a scenario where I go to my app immediately and say, what's the best number I can get on that team to win the title or to win the conference? If the Knicks aren't going to happen, like that would be the one maybe, right? If the Knicks would not have to break the bank for KD, okay,
they
now maybe,
to, yeah.
maybe
but they
bet
have
them
no
to win
interest.
The East.
Yeah,
right,
they
maybe,
have
so
no
that's
interest.
Not going to happen. I don't think I'd bet the Wolves. It's a good trade for them.
I like that, though, for Minnesota.
I do, too, but as a worth a
they have enough defensive guys. They needed another score.
They had
to have
another score, yeah.
How bad was their offense against OKC? How bad were they last year in the conference finals against Dallas?
Sure.
He still can play. He's still an assassin, a sniper.
Right. I would say maybe the team would be Houston, but I don't see a scenario where Houston doesn't have to give up like a lot in return for
probably
him.
Probably, yeah. I like the fit, but you can get out of there with, would you do Green?
Oh, that's, I mean, oh, man.
I would do, with the kid from Auburn? I'd do White and...
Smith?
Sorry, Smith and some picks. Maybe another guy.
If the Suns would bite
look at
then
them,
sure.
What the market is. Look what the market is.
If that's all, that would actually be a trade, like if they're willing to give that up, or if the Suns would be willing to take it, okay, then that's a pretty damn good deal for Houston. But if they part, there's no way they're getting rid of Amen Thompson. That's not going to happen.
No.
But Jalen Green, like that's, man... I know what happened against Golden State. He was a disaster, and he actually talked about it after the games.
Mm-hmm.
But in the regular season, that guy was really, really good, and he got a lot better. All this talk, by the way, about it's going to be the most bonkers offseason that you can remember.
Told you.
I don't.
Not happening.
There's not a scenario here where I'm going to want to grab a team, I think.
Well, I don't see this crazy movement either. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yep.
Looking for a more exciting way to bet? It's called Xcuta. XCUTTA, the future of wagering, combines the adrenaline of a live auction with the strategy of sports betting or fantasy picks. Easy to use, works for any sport. 1,000 teams, players, golfers, and drivers. XCUT is adaptable to any sport, even horse racing. Free to sign up. You pick who you want to bid on, customize your own auction, set your winnings, invite your friends to play. You can even create auctions for free. XCUT has free auctions every day, 3, 6, 9 p.m. Eastern. Send an email to support at xcuta.com. Mention VSiN. They'll give you a 3-month player promo card to get started. Xcuta is a sports Calcutta. How good is that? We've mentioned now Calcutta as well, how good that is and fun. Xcuta.com, X-C-U-T-T-A, xcuta.com. Welcome aboard.
Heavy NFL next. Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchin on the program. He has a lot of opinions, betting opinions, on the Minnesota Vikings and the NFC North. He'll explain a bet he really likes over the first month of the season.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
This is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to go hardcore football here, National Football League. How cool is this? Coming up on late June, and Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian joins us in studio. How are you, pal? Good to see you.
It's so good to be here in person. Great to see you guys. I've missed you. Hey, I think Paul. We've only talked once since the Super Bowl.
Is that it?
I think that's it.
Draft time, maybe?
Well, okay. You let me do my victory lap the day after the Super Bowl,
that's
which
right.
was very generous of you and well-earned by me. And I think we talked one time since then, and that's it.
No, we had to talk about the T-Wolves, and you knew they were going out in the
yeah,
conference
that
finals.
Yeah, that was it.
Typical Minnesota sports
team. Typical Minnesota, right?
Wild...
And ignominiously, you know, you didn't even go down fighting, right?
Yes,
that's what
right.
we do in conference championship games.
Yep.
I think we're up to 0-9 the last as a state in Minnesota, last in championship games.
Is that right?
0-9.
0-9. That sounds about right anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe a Minnesota team can change that this year, the Vikings. Like the NFC champ. Are they like, okay, what are we talking about here? I made a bet on them last night. I bet their win total over 8.5.
I would too.
Okay.
Now, in fairness, at this time last year, I said take the under on their win total because I was not a Sam Darnold believer at that point. And when I was here in June of last year, I had that wrong. So I'm going to own up to that. But... This is an overall stronger, much stronger team and roster than they had last year. Guys, really, the only question mark is J.J. McCarthy. And I realize he's quarterback. That's awfully important. But I don't think there's ever been a first-year quarterback that's been placed into such a good spot to have immediate success than where J.J. McCarthy is. You get... the coach of the year, the reigning coach of the year, and what it looks like a true quarterback whisperer in Kevin O'Connell. Look what he has done to the careers of Kirk Cousins, Nick Mullins, Josh Dobbs, and Sam Darnold. I mean, all playing at the highest levels of their career. You get to throw to Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Aaron Jones out of the backfield, TJ Hockenson potentially sitting on a very big season. As a reminder, and maybe there's a little bit of fantasy side right here, but at Michigan, J.J. McCarthy threw to Colton Loveland all the time, and turned him into a first-round pick. So there's the surrounding talent, really good. Vikings buffeted their offensive line dramatically in the offseason, arguably the most improved offensive line in the NFL, Minnesota's. And that's what unraveled them at the end of their 14-win season at last year was the interior offensive line. So they put a first-rounder into left guard. They got a 10-year veteran in Ryan Kelly to play center, and they got a new starting right guard. The best guard in free agency, Will Fries, is now the right guard. This team is roster is so much better than it was last year, and J.J. McCarthy in a spot to succeed. I know this has been a long-winded diatribe here. I just think that all the stars have aligned for J.J. McCarthy to be really good and for the Vikings to go well over 8.5 wins.
Okay, so everything you said with, I agree with, and that's the reason why I bet him over 8.5 last night. The coaching staff, phenomenal. Elite. The roster overall, yeah. I think, is going to be outstanding. They won 14 games last year and almost were the one seed. It came down to that final game against the Detroit Lions, which we forget about. My biggest rub was the schedule. It is difficult. On paper, what, top five most difficult in the entire league?
It's the fourth hardest schedule by last year's win total. It's the fourth hardest schedule by this year's win total, right? Predicted win total. So it is a hard schedule. And particularly after their week six bye, they go into a brutal stretch where they play the Eagles, Chargers, Lions, and Ravens. But those first five games are really fascinating. Mm-hmm. And this is one of my favorite sneaky bets you can make related to the Minnesota Vikings. You can bet their win total through five games on DraftKings at either 4 or 5 wins. And this has got a real chance of hitting. All five of the games are very winnable. They've got just one road game in the first five because weeks 4 and 5 is a game in Dublin. And then they stay in Europe and they go to London to play the week 5 game. And teams never get to go to Europe and already be time zone acclimated, already have a game under their belt. This is a huge advantage that no team has ever had. And so the Vikings in totality, it is a hard schedule, but we can hit these first 5 games. They've got winnable games at home against Atlanta. They've got Cincinnati at home. They have neutral site games. The only road game is week 1 against Chicago. True road game.
Now, how about this? Last undefeated team in the entire league. Hovering around 13, 15 to 1. You might find a better number on that. I'll tell you what the key is there, too. The bye week in week 6.
Bye week
in
week 6, right? Massive. So they don't have to take a loss potentially in week 6.
Yeah.
But that Eagles game looming in week 7 would be potentially tricky. But if you can get to 6-0, you're in the running to be the last undefeated team. Minnesota would be.
Yep.
I like that angle. If you want to play win 4 of the first 5 for Minnesota, that's +290. Winning going 5-0 through those first 5 games +800. It really comes down to J.J. McCarthy. Do you think he's going to come out of the gate and be good enough to get them 4 out of 5 wins or 5 out of 5? I think there's a good chance he does.
Okay, how much can they win the division?
Harder task to win the division. Every team in the NFC North looks like they're going to be better than they were last year, with the possible exception, maybe the Lions. So where the Lions, I think, get fascinating, guys, if we look at what the Eagles went through 2 years ago, where they brought in 2 green coordinators and everything unraveled at midseason. Remember, Brian Johnson and Sean Desai was their 2 coordinators they brought in. Then a year later, they jettisoned those guys. They brought in Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio, and they win the Super Bowl, right? So the Lions roster is ready to be great. They were already really good last year, and they had all the defensive injuries. I think that's the big question mark is just those coordinators and whether or not they're going to be able to do it with John Morton and Kevin Shepard. I mean, these guys have, this is how thick their resume is. It's this sheet of paper. That's it.
Yeah, well said. Yeah. I think last year was there, and I was big on Detroit every which way but loose last year. I thought last year was the year.
Yeah, and it would have been if they would have not had 10 starters injured on defense, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, and now that roster is the Eagles are the only team with a roster as good as the Lions.
How good is Green Bay? Are they better than last year?
Should be better. Jordan Love got week 1, he suffers that groin injury, right? And then he played through it gallantly, but he was all messed up mechanically all year long. That was a problem. No receiver really emerged last year. Maybe Matthew Golden is going to be that receiver for that that comes out and is much more of a factor for Green Bay. So I feel like Green Bay looks better, healthy this year, another year for Jordan Love, who, by the way, Love could be sitting on a really nice season. I mean, if you think, like, you know, third-year starter, not hampered by this devastating groin injury, he could be a ton better. So the Packers feel like, oh, and their offensive line, was, which was all messed up last year, they got everybody in Green Bay playing the right positions now, yeah. And you know, they added free agents and draft picks to the offensive line. So the offensive line, which was a real problem for Green Bay, gets better too. So they should be better.
I'm very intrigued by Chicago. I know Williams struggled last year.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You're going from a horrific coaching staff with no creativity or imagination. They couldn't coach the guy up, and now I get the Wizard and Johnson. So eight, yeah. Total 8.5. What do you think of the Bears?
I'm worried about how long it takes for them to reverse everything that has mm-hmm. been wrong with Chicago. Can that turn around week one against the Vikings for Chicago, or is it just going to take time? And that's what scares me about the win total for Chicago. I mean, everything's almost got to get better, and love the offensive line additions. Minnesota mm-hmm. and Chicago, two best offensive lines. You get Tooney, they added a new center, and Drew Dahlman, right guard, Jonah Jackson. I mean, those are all, you know, much needed improvements for Chicago. But just when you're installing a totally new offense, all new coaches, we've got a lot of young players, especially in Caleb Williams. Does it all click week one, or is it week six, or is it week 10? You know, I'm optimistic the Bears are going to be better. I just don't know how fast, how soon, and in a tough division.
Yeah, no kidding. I know this. I mean, Williams is going to have the weapons moving forward.
Yeah.
Right? They had I would call it basically a stellar draft for him.
Seemed like it.
Right? So then the pieces, I think Williams is going to be really good. I have faith in that. I think that's the biggest question mark, though. Like, does it pop this year? Is it going to be next year? Like, I think you have to be pretty patient with this team overall.
If this were a different division, remember last year, the NFC North set the all-time win record.
Yes.
You know, for any division history of the NFL. Now, granted, they're playing 17 games now, but nevertheless, I mean, there was, you know, all the teams are really good. That's the hardest thing for Chicago's win total, is how do you get through the gauntlet of those six games against your own division?
Yeah.
Those are all really, really tough.
I ran a couple of MVP numbers by you last time that you were on the air, actually, one of which caught your attention. It was Baker Mayfield around 20, 25 to 1.
Yeah.
McCarthy is 75 to 1. What would you need to bet him? I would take triple digits on him. I'd take like 125 or 100, whatever it would be.
Around 100.
Because I have that much faith in KOC at this point.
It's all Kevin O'Connell based.
Yeah.
It is. It's just, look what he did to Sam Darnold, right? I mean, Sam Darnold was legitimately in the MVP conversation all season long until the last two games in Minnesota.
Which is bonkers.
It is bonkers. Sam freaking Darnold, right? So now we're talking about J.J. McCarthy, who had J.J. McCarthy, he was the 10th overall pick 2 years ago. Had J.J. McCarthy been in this year's draft, he'd have been 1-1. He'd have been the first overall player taken by talent. Potentially a much better player than Sam Darnold. So, yeah, I think there's a scenario where it's obviously not great, but at 100-1, I'm interested in J.J. McCarthy.
More with Paul Charchian coming up next. I want to run a couple of other season-long numbers with the Vikings past him, because if we think this about J.J. McCarthy, don't we have to be super high again on Justin Jefferson?
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We continue talking NFL with the great Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, fantasylife.com, the new website.
Yeah. Since last year. Yeah. We're doing a lot of fun stuff. I wish I could talk more about what's coming. But guillotine leagues, we're going to be up and running before too long here, and we'll be able to do some drafting, some guillotine leagues. Can't wait.
Justin Jefferson has played in the NFL for 5 years. He has 495 catches and almost 7,500 yards to go along with 40 touchdowns. Where is the drop-off coming if we think McCarthy's going to be good this year?
The only reason to think there might be a drop-off with Justin Jefferson is because the Vikings are going to stylistically change this year, in that they are going to be much more run-focused than they have been in the past. Kevin O'Connell, pretty much every year, is a top five passing play percentage coach, but he's never had a real power running game. Now he's got it because of the improvements on the offensive line, which we mentioned last segment, and the interior of the offensive line, and the addition of Jordan Mason. So this team is going to be more balanced on offense. There's just going to be less volume for Justin Jefferson, but he's still Justin Jefferson. You know, even though he's missed roughly half a season of games through 5 years, maybe a little bit more than that, if I remember this correctly, he leads all receivers in yards at his age through 5 seasons, ahead of, you know, Jerry Rice and all the other greats. So, you know, Justin Jefferson's going to continue to be very, very good in this offense because Kevin O'Connell is going to make sure he's good and then he gets the ball.
Careful with how you answer this question because of who you're sitting next to. Is he on pace to be better than Randy Moss?
No way. I mean, I can't do good it. Answer. I mean, just Moss was just, you know, Moss was one of a kind, on, of right? I mean, it's a little bit like that's a Barry right Sanders answer kind of thing, right? Yeah. Where Barry was so uniquely to awesome that you just, there's not comparables. That was Moss.
Yeah, good answer. Strong. Yeah. And so from a fantasy standpoint and also what the team will look like with the rushing game, I believe you were president of the Ty Chandler fan club.
Well,
he wouldn't get enough touches. So now you get Jordan Mason. What's it going to look like? Because you're big on Mason in fantasy.
I am.
Plus 450 at DraftKings, have 1,000 yards rushing. Take it away with the running perspective.
All right. So this is probably widely, I think, misunderstood nationally about how this running game for the Vikings is going to set up. I already told you that they're going to run more, but this is going to be way more of a 50-50 total timeshare between Aaron Jones at 30 years old and Jordan Mason, who is, for his career, 5.2 yards per carry. He's one of the best broken tackle runners that the league has seen in the last 3 seasons that he's been in the league. Vikings traded equity to go get him. He is going to be a big, big part of this offense. And near the stripe, they're going to go with the big body guy. Aaron Jones last year, on his carries from inside the five, ran for a net total of -4 yards. That's just not how Aaron Jones is built. In total, all of his carries from inside the five, -4 yards.
Ooh. Do you know the number of carries he had top of your head inside the five?
Somewhere in the neighborhood of like 14, 15 carries for -5 yards for Aaron Jones and 3 touchdowns. That's just not his role.
Wow.
Jordan Mason, the bigger back, a power interior back, is going to get those goal line carries now. So that's how this thing's going to shape up. And from a fantasy standpoint, Mason is going to outscore Aaron Jones. Even in PPR leagues where you get points per reception, I think Mason's going to be the preferred Viking to get. But right now, Aaron Jones is going several rounds before Jordan Mason. This is a misunderstanding out there.
Well, do you care to share where you're taking Mason right now currently?
I'm taking him 8th round of drafts right now, which is just because I want to get him. He's typically going round 10, round 11, round 12. I just don't want there to be any hesitancy about me going and getting Jordan Mason, who's on all my best ball teams.
Have you been sniped?
A couple of times.
Before, like in the 8th round?
Yeah, a couple of times. Other people that see it
you're
clearly.
You're the only one then.
Yeah. That's how this thing's going to shake out. And a chance that Jordan Mason just turns into the pure first and second down guy, and Aaron Jones just kind of moves into a third down role for Minnesota. That's possible too.
What else is going on early with drafts or maybe a hot take? Or a tough opinion you have.
Yeah, well, the other guy that I'm targeting that I'm taking way ahead of everybody else, Bucky Irving right now is going at the end of the 2nd round. I'm taking him into 1st round.
In the first, yeah.
Bucky Irving's the best running back. Let me be really clear. Bucky Irving is the best runner in the NFL. Huh? Metrically, he's the best runner. Best at avoided tackle rate, you know, yards per carry. And I love the Bucks. I think the Bucks are sitting on a terrific season. We talk about Baker Mayfield as a potential MVP. Bucky Irving to me is somebody that if in the 1st round where I'm going against the grain, Bucky Irving.
Very good. Our guest, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian. By the way, you can always get in touch with the show. X is usually the best way when we're live on the air at BSN Live at Mitch Moss Radio at Paulie Howard. You're at Paul Charchian.
Paul Charchian. You got to spell it.
Yeah. Well, easy. That's too much for the year. People are driving around right now.
Right. No,
14 letters, no way. This is from Billy. He's actually watching the show, and he says, looking good with the long hair on VSiN right now. It looks like you rolled off the set of the newest Tarantino movie.
I'll take that.
You like? That's a compliment for sure.
Yeah, that's a compliment. Yeah, but this hair is not new. This is 2 years old. You know, Billy needs to watch more Thursdays with us, I think, because, you know, I've been rocking this look for a couple of years.
Love your Thursday appearances. Can't wait for football. Give me some hot stuff with TVs. There's so much stuff with the apps and Squid Game 3 comes out in a week. There's a lot. I recommend The Mortician on
what
HBO.
Is that? I don't know the Mortician.
Three episodes on HBO. You'll appreciate this, Mitchell.
Okay.
There's a Robert Durst type moment.
I'm in.
But the jinx where the guy, with, is that a confession? What happened? The Mortician is unbelievable.
What's it about? Don't say a mortician.
Doing stuff with dead bodies and
That's a little ambiguous for me.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. It's one of the craziest things I've watched. So what's good? I'm not going that direction, but what do you got?
Two shows on Apple Plus that I'm in the middle of their first season. They're both new shows. Murder Bot is the rare science fiction comedy. It's about a robot who's, like all robots, designed to protect humanity, but he manages to override his software so he can kill anybody he wants. And now he's trying to pick his moment. Like, okay, when am I going to flip on these humans? And it is a well-done comedy with amazing visuals. You know, Apple's got so much money to throw at this stuff. It's all set far distant future, outer space. It's a good comedy. And then the Seth Rogen show, I think is fantastic. I think it's hilarious. I think it's the best thing Seth Rogen has ever done.
Outrageous comment.
I think it's the best thing Seth Rogen's done. What did you not like about the studio?
I didn't think it was that good. It didn't get me. Didn't capture me. I didn't.
It's got the Larry David where you're like, oh no, don't do it. Don't do it.
There's some
he's doing it. No. You know, like where you love and hate what's happening all at the same time. And it's got all of these long, long shots where, including one entire episode that's one shot, where Seth Rogen is. It's just total pandemonium. I think it's beautifully done. The casting's fantastic. Cameos everywhere if you love stars.
That is true. That is true.
Name me the best thing that Seth Rogen's ever done then.
The Katherine Heigl movie. Was Knocked Up? What's it called?
Yeah, Knocked Up. Knocked Up was good. That 20 years ago.
I don't have his resume memorized. I'll give you what the show's about. Co-mingling of bodies and ashes together, hiring hit men to eliminate the competition, family-run business.
That's the Mortician.
On HBO.
Well, I'll go back. I mean, as soon as you said that, it reminded me of a show that was super popular 20 years ago, and it's amazing, 6 Feet Under on HBO.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely fantastic.
Dark comedy.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
Mortician's not a comedy, or is it?
It's wild.
It's just wild.
Did you laugh out loud several times?
It's unbelievable.
Okay.
It's unbelievable. The guy's like, what's the difference? I can put in 20 bodies. Once you're dead. Who cares? I'm just going to fire. Oh, my God. This guy's a character.
All right.
It's unbelievable. Want to make smarter football bets this season? Start with VSiN Pro. Grab our football special. The early bird rate of just 175. Full access now through the Super Bowl. Our betting guide comes out in a couple weeks. Power rating, season-long best bets, the morning email from Bill 80, who's on the UNLV win total over after hanging out with Dan Mullen. Every pick, every host, every guest, the betting splits, the on-demand shows, the analytics, and the betting tools. Early bird special through the football season. Make your move now. 175, VSiN.com/subscribe.
Season 2 of Wednesday is coming out on Netflix on August 6th. I was a big fan of season 1.
I didn't see it.
Jenna Ortega crushed the role. I thought she should have won every single award. Given away. She was great.
What's it about? What's Wednesday about?
She's Adam's family.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
It's very well done.
No kidding.
Yeah. She knocks it out of the park.
Season 2 drops Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Cocaine Air? Netflix? Any interest? Cocaine Air?
It's supposed to be really, really good.
These pilots with the Yale.
I mean, Cocaine Cowboy is one of the best of all time.
Yeah.
So I guess it's going to be similar to that.
You know what it's going to be is frightening.
Yeah,
that's what worries me. Is like now every time I get on a plane.
I know.
I got to say though, I'm always fascinated by that kind of stuff because I could never get involved with that. That's why Breaking Bad's my favorite show of all time. But I'm always like captivated by that because I just know that's never gonna be like what I would, you know.
Hopefully you'll never be in that situation.
I'm never gonna be a big drug kingpin. So you know what I'm saying.
Not.
So
it's never. You're never too young though.
Okay, right. Yes.
Good point.
Good to see you again, pal.
Great to see you guys.
And there
you go. Absolutely.
The Thunder really struggled with Indiana's adjustments last night. We'll explain some of what they did next.